Welcome to another episode of Meet Me at the Library, the podcast that talks about programs and resources at Charlotte Mecklenburg Library. I'm Jeff Gavin, a librarian at North County Regional Library, which is currently closed for renovations, so I'm working with the digital branch. The focus of today's episode of Meet Me at the Library is Leading on Opportunity. We'll be talking about programming and resources available through the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library System that address parts of the Charlotte Mecklenburg Opportunity Task Force Report. To explain the Opportunity Task Force Report and Leading on Opportunity efforts at the library, we have Dave Sniffen. Dave, will you please tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Thanks, Jeff, for having me. As Jeff said, I'm David Sniffen. I coordinate the Leading on Opportunity for the library, as well as our career strategies for the library. Grew up in Columbia, South Carolina. I've been here in Charlotte about almost 20 years. Met my wife here, and as I like to tell people, I've created a couple native Charlottesians with my wife, so we have a couple kids. Really like the area, and I'm really excited for the opportunity to lead on Opportunity.
Cool. Okay, so Dave, will you tell us what is the Opportunity Task Force report?
So back in 2014, there was a long-term study published their reports known as the CHETI study. They examined different cities and regions of the United States and surveyed people and did long-term studies over a period from approximately 1980 to 2012. And what the CHETI report found is that of the top largest 50 metropolitan areas in the country, Charlotte was number 50 in terms of upward economic mobility. So essentially what that CHETI study means is that if you're born poor in Charlotte, you're more likely to end up that way. They figured out, they cited a number of different checkpoints, if you will, that establishes why that is so. Subsequently, because of those findings, because they're very distressing for our community, and interested groups created the Opportunity Task Force, which studied the CHETI report, and subsequently that committee came out with the Opportunity Task Force report, which is sort of a guidebook, if you will, a path forward for us to overcome this terrible situation in our community.
Okay. So did the Opportunity Task Force find out different information than the CHETI report?
What they did, the CHETI report is about 110-page, very academic, very high-level sort of treatise. And what the and obviously, if they were looking at all 50 different metropolitan areas, they were only able to dig so deep. So the Opportunity Task Force took that CHETI information, had about a year and a half of community meetings and studies and check-ins, and found out, sort of fleshed out the CHETI report to specific for Charlotte.
Okay.
And so what they found through that Opportunity Task Force report is that we need to focus on certain areas to overcome the lack of opportunity for economic mobility.
Right.
Those things include early child care and education, college and career opportunities, working with formerly incarcerated individuals to overcome the barriers, and connecting all those dots with community partners that are doing this work and trying to accomplish this work. A couple other cross-cutting factors that you have to take into account when you discuss about economic mobility in our community is the lack of social capital that a lot of people have. And what social capital is you and I may have a connection through church or through school or through our social network where I need help getting a job or I need help with an internship. And so many people don't have that social capital.
Right.
So those opportunities are sort of closed to them. And it's also sort of a situation where folks don't know what they don't know because they've never been exposed to that, because they're grandparents and their parents have always been doing the same low-income jobs and been stuck in the same areas and had socioeconomic issues and barriers to their success. So the social capital is definitely a big part of it. And then you can't discuss anything in the South, and especially in Charlotte, without thinking about the impact of segregation on the community. Charlotte was very in tune with Jim Crow laws and the aspects of redlining where people were not allowed to live in certain areas, and the banks and others conspired to keep those folks out. And we're still feeling the effects of that today, as reflected in the economic opportunity or lack thereof based in the Opportunity Task Force report.
Okay. So Charlotte was 50 as far as economic mobility goes, Where did Charlotte rate economically in the top 50, you know, as far as like income and all that?
The report doesn't really go into that so much, but what the report does highlight is parts of our area where there are many economic opportunities as opposed to those that are not.
Yeah.
So Charlotte is very much what's referred to as the crescent and the wedge. So south and east, Charlotte is usually lots of income, lots of tax base, more large houses there, more opportunities for folks. And then the north and the west is sort of lacking those opportunities. And that's what the that's sort of where the wedge falls in. There, you know, I think the biggest factor that really surprised people is in a city of over a million people with 2 to 3 international bank headquarters, we still have people that do not have a leg up in the community. Right. I think that's reflective of, you know, the banks do as much as they can, but I think there's opportunities for them to always do more. But it's very distressing to have residents live within 3 miles of uptown and have never been uptown. You know, I think that's really a, you know, I was lucky enough to travel with my parents a lot when I was young and had cars and transportation opportunities. But, you know, it just blows my mind that there's people that live off West Boulevard, off Beatty's Ford Road, off South Boulevard. They've never been uptown in their own community.
Yeah.
Or have never been in the ocean. Or have never crossed a state line, you know?
Yeah.
And when you don't even know those opportunities exist, it's just, I can't imagine how stifling it is or how you don't have a perspective on the world outside of what you see every day.
Right. So what is the library doing as far as leading on opportunity goes to address some of these issues?
Well, I think the first step is that our CEO, Lee Kiesler, created this job. This position did not exist till about 4 months ago, and it shows that the library is serious about helping with this systemic problem in our community. We didn't get here overnight, and it's going to take a lot of work to get out of this.
Yeah.
So the library, I see my role as sharing what the library is doing in terms of career opportunities. We're already doing early child care and education. We're just not gauging it as being an opportunity, but we're already helping people accomplish their third grade literacy skills. We're already helping adults go back to school and kids get into college and trades. And we're already working with formerly incarcerated individuals to do more for their life and help their children succeed. And so I'm sort of, my role is to connect the dots with other agencies doing the stuff, letting them know the library is here, whether we want to share our resources or provide a venue for them to interact with people, and really connecting the dots with all these different agencies that are all doing aspects towards being an opportunity, but may not realize that they can call it that or that they're really working towards an overall larger goal of the community in general.
Right, addressing
addressing the issues, right, because we obviously the library is a stalwart and a very well-respected organization, but we can't do it all either.
Right. So let's talk about, before we get into the partners, can you tell me some specific programs that the library is doing?
Sure. Well, we are doing our biannual job fairs. We routinely have 35 to 40 employers, and we average 400 to 500 people come through for that. I have a goal in the fall of expanding our job fair to include up to 100 employers and getting 1,000 people in here and utilizing the entire space in the main library for that.
Right.
Currently, it's just in the Job Help Center area, and it gets a little tight over there
for
all those people. Additionally, we've piloted a program called Stars for Success this winter, I guess, where folks can come in, patrons can come and check out a shirt and tie for job interview. That's probably for males, and females can check out a portfolio and a scarf for job interviews.
Okay.
And then every month we're providing expungement webinars out of Raleigh through the North Carolina Bar Association. We have one-on-one resume support that you can drop in and get support from staff and volunteers. We offer computer skills, job searching skills, resume skills, workshops every month. We also provide one-on-one assistance for people when they come in seeking jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We have an online email where you can email us your resume and get feedback within 3 to 5 days. And then we're working with outside agencies sort of on our public commons model where we gather the experts and provide the space and then bring clients and patrons in to get information from our community partners.
Okay. So that's adult programming. Now, are you working with the teen leader and the children's leader?
I am, because there's a big part of the Opportunity Task Force report that talks about early literacy and early childhood literacy skills that, you know, if you don't have a good baseline, it's going to be hard to accomplish things moving forward. So we have to get our youth on board. So there's leading an opportunity actually has a staff now of folks, and they have a staff member for each of the main areas, the early literacy, the college and career, and then sort of the adult learning components. And so we've supported them through some survey. They were looking for information from the community about early kindergarten opportunity and free kindergarten in North Carolina. And so we provided them a venue during our story times to survey some of our patrons to get feedback. So we've been working directly with the Opportunity Task Force staff. They are very much about changing the systems and not really doing programs. So it's going to kind of be up to us to figure out where those programming opportunities are. But I'm actively involved working with our children's services leader and our teen services leader, especially around college and career opportunities. Leading an opportunity is a part of the career college and career team, and we're really focusing on adults wanting to go back to school, teens that come out of high school and don't necessarily want to go to college but are interested in trade, and linking them up with the appropriate avenues to help make those opportunities come true.
Okay. And what about children's programming?
Children's programming, we're already doing early literacy.
Right.
So part of my job is making people realize that their day-to-day jobs are larger than just the people that are served, and they're also serving our leading on opportunity factors, if you will. A lot of my job is instructing library staff and helping them realize and understand that even though it may not be called, you know, a baby story time is called a baby story time, but it's also a huge component of a leading on opportunity. If these kids learn literacy at an early age, go to school, get their education, they have a leg up and, you know, do better than their parents did, if you will.
Sure. And the goal being to get them on...
Get them on the third grade literacy levels where there's been many studies that find if a child does not get good literacy skills by third grade, it's going to be that much harder to move forward in their education going forward. So that's a huge component. And we've been working with Read Charlotte with our active reading learning scenarios. And, you know, it's going to take everybody's effort to get over this.
For sure.
It's going to be slow. It's going to be incremental. But when we're expecting 1 million more people here by 2030, it's a problem that we need to address now and not, you know, it can't keep festering for sure.
So, Dave, can you tell us about the partner organizations that are helping the library or working with the library?
Sure. The Leading an Opportunity staff themselves have been great. They have a staff of about five. Their leader is very active in the community, and then she has the three or four folks under her. So they're kind of helping us with high-level thought and connecting with some other groups doing similar things. Mm-hmm. Working closely, as I mentioned before, anybody that's incarcerated into a jail or prison in North Carolina that's from Mecklenburg County is eligible to receive services when they reenter the community through the Mecklenburg County Reentry Group.
Okay.
And so those folks work with individuals coming back in the community. Big thing they do is help get housing. So what they do is work with formerly incarcerated individuals, and they say, we'll pay your rent 100% for the first 3 months, and then you'll get a job by then. The next 3 months, we'll pay 60%, and then subsequently. So with the idea being within a year, this formerly incarcerated individual has employment, sustainable employment, skills, and a place to live. So that's part. We've been working really well with them. They have about 1,600 clients that they serve. So I've gone to some of their meetings, some of their job fairs, and they've come and toured the Job Help Center. They've been a great partner. We have a great working relationship with CPCC, which we're trying to strengthen more in their college and career services office. They offer a lot of programs for individuals wanting to go back to school or trying to get a trade skill or brushing up on their education, and most of their opportunities are free for those folks.
Okay. So
they just need people to come and take advantage of them. We've also been working closely with a number of banks in terms of our Money Smart Week financial literacy offerings that we're doing. Allied Bank has been a good partner, and Sharon View Federal Credit Union does outstanding programs for us. And during Money Smart Week, they're going to do a couple of panels for teens around financial literacy. So
it can
really impact them. And then there's other organizations like Charlotte Works and Dress for Success and DSS and other groups in the areas where we're just kind of reminding people we're here. I find that each job fair I go to, I find another employer that's interested in coming to our job fair.
Yeah, great. Great.
Are interested in coming to our first Mondays, employer drop-ins. And so it's a lot of connecting the dots, making people realize that when they're thinking of a new initiative or a big project, have the library come to the table first instead of inviting us 6 months into the project.
Mm-hmm.
And changing people's mindsets about the library being just books and computers and more about opportunities for successful lives.
Okay, great. So are the partners actually doing programs at the library?
Well, as like in terms of Sharon View Federal Credit Union, they're actually coming in and doing programs okay. for us. And then that's kind of the idea around the public commons model that we're trying to put into motion. We've got the venues. We've got this audience. Come in with your experts and your expertise. Yeah. As with all library programming, turnout is sometimes mysterious. Why we have more people for one program,
yeah.
less people for another. Here at Main Library, we have difficulties with accessible parking. So thankfully, we do have smaller career centers at the Steel Creek, Beatty's Ford Road, and Sugar Creek libraries.
Mm-hmm.
So patrons can take advantage of those if they can't make it uptown. And we're hoping to expand our knowledge in terms of teaching branch library staff about job searching and resume help so that they can better help the clients they serve. So people okay. don't have to come to Main Library all the time.
Right. Although there is free parking at Imaginal.
If it's
for an hour and a half, right?
Yeah, it's not full.
So Dave, can you tell us what is the impact so far of Leading on Opportunity? Is there any way to gauge your success?
That's a good question, Jeff. In talking with Lee, our CEO, he helped me realize that a lot of our positions are siloed, if you will, in that obviously the adult coordinator, leader, works mm-hmm. with adults.
Right.
Teen works with teens. Children works with children. But the Leading an Opportunity cuts across all those areas.
Right.
So I'm having an impact in all those areas. But it's also one where in our job help center, in our career area, we only know that someone has been successful in getting a job when we stop seeing them because they
yeah.
tend to not come back. So
yeah.
talking with Lee, he encouraged me to create some KPIs for myself, some key performance indicators for myself and our department. And I'm thinking, I'm going to have to think in terms of outputs versus outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, every event that I go to where we have a library table showing our career efforts and our career resources that people can take advantage of, I'm keeping track of each person I engage with
mm-hmm.
so that I okay. have a goal of like, I've engaged with 1,500 people this year to tell them about the Career Center. And
yeah.
I think that would be a good, at least indicator of the impact we're having. It's not necessarily really quantifiable or measurable in terms of getting narratives from folks, but if I know I've shared resources with them, encouraged them to come into the library, that's a start at least.
Right, right.
And I find a big part of my job is working with other resource providers, sort of enlightening them to the library in 2019, which is not the library of their mother or the library they experienced
yeah.
as a child, and then leveraging that to share with their clients what we have, the opportunities we have. Just since I've gotten in this job, I've had the staff from the Mecklenburg County Reentry Network come to the Job Help Center and check out what we do. I've talked with their group. This week we had a gentleman from Vocational Rehab come
mm-hmm.
who's really interested in the programs we offer, and he's invited me to come talk to their staff about what we have. And it's working in the library so long, I kind of forget all of the resources that we do have available for people.
Yeah.
So it helps me get jazzed again about all that we're doing when I'm helping other people realize
yeah.
that we have okay. all this. And then as I tell people, you've paid for this with your tax dollars.
Yeah.
We have your money. Please come use this. You know,
right.
get your
yeah.
money's worth out of this.
That's right.
And people really understand when I break it down in terms of finances to them.
Gotcha. Yeah. Do you have any stories or any other information?
Sure. As we talked about, it's incremental and slow moving, but also through our Career Center efforts at the Job Help Center, Main Library, we do experience success stories.
Yeah.
I know one patron in particular had been coming in a lot, really working on her resume, her interview skills, and then she shared that not only did she get a job in security for one of the local television stations, she's actually the security chief for that, and very happy to have steady income, steady employment with a good employer, and she couldn't speak highly enough about the assistance she got in the job.
Okay.
Center. And she's one of those patrons that still comes back. She's
yeah.
still building on those skills. And then we've had random people come in and, I really need somebody to look at this resume right now. I have a job interview in an hour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. While we can't always accommodate that, we do our best to do that. We've had a number of people come in with that and then share with us later that thanks to your efforts, I got that job.
Yeah, great.
Our staff member, Detrice Fox, does career development intensives where she sits down with people and they start at the beginning on like, where do you want to go? What job do you want to get? And then she helps them figure out how to build those skills to that. Mm-hmm. One particular young lady she was working with last summer really wanted to get into publishing in New York City. And then about 3 months later, Detrice got an email saying, I did it. I'm here in New York. I've got the job. And I couldn't have done it without your help. So it's really, sometimes we get bogged down in our day-to-day jobs and wondering if we're really making a difference. But hearing stories like that really brings it all home for me. And we're working with people and wanting them to know that we'll help you get any job, but we're really wanting you to help get you a career.
Right.
You know, it's fine if you want to wash dishes and switch jobs every 6 months. We'll help you do that. But check out this computer class that may expand your opportunities or your skill set. Or check out this interviewing and slowly work at it. And people pull their bootstraps up, if you will, and work on those skills and then get better jobs that lead to careers. And that's what we want to do. You know,
yeah.
If you can get you a good career, get a good paycheck, and take care of your family and provide that tax base back to the community, you know, that's what we want to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Dave, are there any trends that we should be aware of as far as leading on opportunity goes or the opportunity task force?
I think the overall trend would be that you're going to hear these buzzwords more, if you will. Mm-hmm. So when you hear opportunity task force or leading an opportunity, just think about what we've talked about here today, the opportunity task force. Think about what that means for our community. As we stated earlier, it took a lot of years to get to this situation. It's going to take a number of years to get out of it. So I think we'll be hearing about it more. I really hope that we see it in terms of city council and county commissioners and talking about it and really keeping it in the back of their minds that everything they do, we do, anybody does moving forward should try and address these issues that are systemic in our community. Because we're only going to increase in size. We're only going to get more people. We want to be a welcoming community, and we want to wash away this legacy that we have and make sure this legacy doesn't carry on.
Sure.
If you're born poor, you have a right to a successful life, a healthy life, just like anybody. And through no fault of your own, that should not hold you back to a successful life.
Right. So is there anything else you'd like to share?
I'd just like to thank you for the opportunity to talk about leading on opportunity. A big part of my job is helping people understand what I do and their role in that, because Lord knows I can't do it alone. So thanks for that. And I'm happy to share this information with any community groups that want to learn more. And if anybody wants to help out the library in any capacity, please reach out to me or someone else and they can get you in touch with me. So thank you for the opportunity, Jim.
You're welcome. All right, well, thank you, Dave. And thank you all for joining us for Meet Me at the Library. We hope you've enjoyed the program. Look for our other episodes and other library programs on the Digital Branch at digitalbranch.cmlibrary.org. Please visit the library's website at www.cmlibrary.org. And don't forget to check the library's calendar for upcoming programs and our resource pages. You can also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, hashtag CM Library or at CM Library. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
forget to accept.